Pan Lord, Yevor Po, Yevor Quince Po, Amen. Next week, our community knows that we're going to host and celebrate Armenia Fest. It's the first time in 2 years that we're able to do this, and it's going to be the last time we do Armenia Fest at this location, because God willing, next year we will be at the new church. But it's a time when our community comes together and it unites for 3 days to show our churches, our peoples, and our nation's successes. We show all the things that we've had in our past, the things we have now, and the things that we will have one day. And probably the most attractive. The most attractive thing that we have is our food. We love to show our food off. And it's no surprise, and it's not news to anyone, that Armenians love to eat and love to feed people. If you've ever been to an Armenian household and you say, "Kabade, it's enough, I don't need any more," that's just a sign of, oh, two more servings for you. No one stops from serving. And for that reason, three very important things take place around the table. Community, communication, and communion all happen around the table. Food and meals are something that everybody can relate to. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're old or you're young, if you're rich or you're poor, if you're Armenian or you're not Armenian, we all know what it means to be hungry. We all have had that experience, from the newborn all the way up to the elderly. We all understand what hunger is. Even the Lord knew this, and when he taught the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, the very first request in it is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Before, in the Lord's Prayer, he talks about praising God and what God is and who God is. But the first request is food. Food unites us, but it also opens up the paths of communication. And we see this when we have a new neighbor that moves into the neighborhood. We usually prepare something and we take it to them as a welcoming gift. If we have someone whom we want to become a little bit more closer to a date, we take them out for food, right? Sorry, did you don't do that?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. We take them out for food, right?
I found out when I have shared bread with people, I get to know their name the best.
That's true.
It's amazing.
Never forget their name. You never forget who they are or where they come from either. And the history that... Because when you sit, you don't sit in silence and eat. That's what you do in a monastery. I don't think any of you live in monasteries. So I don't even live in a monastery. But we live and we talk and we converse and we find out what's going on in each other's lives when we eat. But then most importantly, it is also a time when we reconcile. When we have done something wrong to someone else and one another, we say to them, "Let's go, let's break bread together. Let's bury the hatchet and let's work together and eat together." This is what we do with Holy Communion. When we receive Holy Communion during Baladak, the church becomes one body. All of us become one body in Christ through love. Through love. That means anyone who's holding a grudge, anyone who has not forgiven someone else, should not come and receive Holy Communion. They shouldn't even be in the church, if that's the case. Christ even talks about this. Before you give your gift, leave it at the altar and go and forgive your brother. Work with your brother and forgive them. And then come and offer your gift. But in the Badarak, we hear this many times. And the deacons say this many times. Especially on page 23, right when we're about to start, the Eucharist. The deacons pronounce very clearly the very first words, "Let none of the catechumens, none of little faith, and none of the penitents, or any of the unclean draw near to this divine mystery." And then two pages later, on page 25, "Again, in faith and purity, let us stand in awe and pray before the holy altar of God, not with a guilty conscience and offense, not with craftiness and cunning, not with deceit and wiles, not with doubt and not with little faith, but with right conduct, a single mind, a guileless heart, with perfect faith, filled with love, full and abounding in all good works." And then on page 27, when we actually do the kiss of peace and we greet one another with the kiss of peace, the choir sings, "The church has now become one soul. The kiss is given for a full bond. The enmity has been removed and love is spread over all of us." It is during this time, if you notice, usually the priest, if he's bigger, you don't notice him. Luckily you have me. But with the chalice, he opens up the chalice just slightly and takes the communion out, takes the bread out, the body of Christ. And it is there that we say, Christos imesh me haidensa. Christ is revealed amongst us. This is the first time in the entire Vadara that people see a glimpse of that Christ being with us and among us. This is why we sing it. This is why we say it. If there is no communion, there is no need to say Christos imesh me haidensa. But this is what happens at that point, and then the priest closes it again, showing everyone that he is here, he's gone for a little bit, but he is coming back, and he will be in each of us. It's through Holy Communion, not only do we unite as one, but we also unite with each other, we unite with our saints, and we unite with those who have passed on before us, our beloved who have passed away. But it is also a time that we unite with Christ himself. Christ said in the Gospel of John, "He who eats my body and drinks my blood will abide in me and I in him." It's through Holy Communion that we physically have Christ residing in us and we become temples of Christ. So often we forget the power of Holy Communion, how strong it is. And this goes for many reasons. It may be we have never been taught it. Maybe the priest's fault that he never preached it. Maybe we go to other churches and we hear other things about Holy Communion. But those who receive Holy Communion with a clean heart and pure faith are receiving one of the greatest weapons they can ever receive in this fight against the devil and evil in this world. Because it is Christ himself we are receiving. St. John Chrysostom, the golden mouth, he says, "The Eucharist is a fire that inflames us. And like lions that breathe fire, we retire from the altar, being made terrible to the devil." The devil does not want us to receive Holy Communion. He does not want us to be united. He does not want us to receive it and use it against him. This is why he does anything and everything to prevent us from receiving Holy Communion. He comes up with reasons why you shouldn't go to church. He comes up with reasons why you shouldn't receive Holy Communion. He comes up with reasons why you shouldn't interact with those people at the church who do things. They talk and they gossip. There's no need to go there. So often I hear, unfortunately, people, "I pray at home. I don't need to go to church. I pray at home." But that's not communion. That's not church. As I said, what family has dinner with everyone in a different room? One person in their bedroom, one person in the living room, one person in the den, one person in the kitchen. That's not a family. We sit around a common table and we eat together. Those who sit in different rooms and eat in different rooms, that's a prison. That's what you do in a prison. You put people in different rooms and you feed them there. We're not in a prison. We're free. We've been resurrected and we have received the very weapon that Satan does not want us to have. And he will stop at nothing to prevent us from receiving it. So next week, we're going to see many, many people who are going to come and who do not come to church often and do not take that weapon which Christ gives us freely. And it is up to us that we encourage them to come and truly be part of this community and be in communion with us. Because coming once a year to eat kebab and bere does not make you part of the community. I don't care who you are, it does not make you part of the community. Coming to church and receiving Holy Communion makes you communal and part of this community. And when we are able to come to church and receive Holy Communion, communicate with God, and be part of the community, that and only then will we be one with